Keep your table sounding like this with Cheerios Oat Crunch. It's breakfast bliss that the whole family can enjoy, with energy from whole grains to help keep you going, along with four unique flavors, cinnamon, berry, almond, and oats and honey. So next breakfast, remember, a little crunch goes a long way. Learn more and shop for Cheerios Oat Crunch at Cheerios.com. 24 grams to 30 grams whole grain per serving, at least 48 grams recommended daily.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Loot Crate. You know Loot Crate. For less than $20 a month, you get 68 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Make sure you head to lootcrate.com/instance and enter the code INSTANCE to save $3 off any new subscription. That's lootcrate.com/instance and the code INSTANCE. And by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Get all the tools and templates you need to build a great website, storefront, or blog. Have it look great on both desktop and mobile. Head on over to squarespace.com and get the free trial. When you decide to stay, use the code INSTANCE at checkout and get 10% off your order. That's INSTANCE at checkout at squarespace.com.
Illidari. My demon hunters. With countless worlds burning in the Legion's wake, you answered the call. Yet these mortals in their ignorance have come to destroy their own salvation. Our time is short. I will deal with these intruders.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance, episode 457. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by everybody. Patrick, Dills, Terpster, everybody's here. Say hi, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Patrick, you're on vacation. What are you doing? What the hell is
this
about?
There's no vacation when World of Warcraft is concerned. Also, as Terpster said before we started the show, Sonya is getting pretty tired of me talking about Demon Hunters and Gul'dan and all the spoilers. And she was like, you know, isn't it The Instance today? Maybe, you know, vacation doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go and talk to your
Have
Scott.
Fun with your friends. Don't worry about me. Shut your mouth as well. Just stop talking about anything about Warcraft. Okay, jeez.
So it's so funny because you're on vacation and you're trying to sort of stay away from all of this stuff. But you contacted me midweek and says, I have to talk about it. And I got to thinking, we've all sort of been on vacation because this game has consumed most of our time, I think. Like, I feel like all four of us have probably played more WoW in the last week than we have in quite some time.
If you had told me about, like 6 to 8 months ago, I was certain I was going to come back for the expansion, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had told me, you know, 2 months before the expansion, you would be playing WoW nonstop. I have, like, what, four? If you count the Demon Hunter, I have four level 100 now.
Oh my.
So three that I actually leveled, two of them in the past couple of weeks.
Mm.
We'll get into this, but I'm having fun with the Demon Hunter, with the quests, with the scenario. Oh my god, when we were saying the pre-patch things, the scenario, the introduction were not going to be super fun, we couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah, do you think, I have this feeling, and anyone can weigh in on this, but I have this feeling that the Warlords thing was so disappointing, the pre-patch thing was just so boring and lame, that they did that on purpose so that one day we would be blown away by what a pre-patch could be. Because this is real good.
Sure.
Because this is so good.
Sometimes, Scott, I'm really inadequate in bed just so that sometimes...
just so the next time.
...rock their minds.
That's smart. You got to set the expectation.
Boom, you need the contrast, baby. I'm a roller coaster.
So the comparison's really crappy so that the class halls would be amazing. Yeah. I mean, this is all just one big setup.
One big plan.
You've been watching too much Mr. Robot.
Oh, my gosh, I have been. You heard my paranoid ramblings last night. It's everything's there. Yeah. I'm being watched.
Like, wait a minute. What if real life is instant?
You know, here, let me explain just so people know I'm not crazy. We were all trying, like 25 of us or whatever the number was, we're trying to meet at the bridge on the, I guess that would have been the west side of Orgrimmar, where we're going to meet up and then go to Crossroads and do the demon invasion, which we'll talk about here in a minute in detail. And we're all there, and they're all there, but I can't see anyone. I see their little dots because we're in the same group and raid. So I see their little circles on the on my little mini map, but there's no other bodies there.
Yeah, you don't see actually anybody. Yeah, there is some weird phasing going on. For sure.
Yeah.
But it's set up at the wrong time. That's basically it.
I think it's needed though, because I don't know if you've had this experience where you've gotten into one of the demon invasions and there's just tons of people and the lag is incredible. Mm-hmm. So they've been keeping people fairly separated out, but if every time it does happen to be a lot of people, mm-hmm. just so many spell effects going on.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on.
You need to rock up in the zone during stage one. If mm-hmm. you hit it at later than stage one, you join the next instance phase scenario yep. for the invasion in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really cool how they are doing it. It was a little confusing at first, but
yeah,
essentially it's like a constant scenario that's
mm-hmm.
happening
mm-hmm.
essentially.
Yeah, you can go.
It's a constant phase one basically, and if you are in that zone when phase one ends, then you get to phase two. But it's super clever because it allows you to have that invasion go for the 4 hours, and it doesn't mean that you have to be there to get there at the beginning of the 4 hours. During those 4 hours you can go whenever you want, and there's always a big group doing it. It's super mm-hmm. clever.
Yeah, and you don't wander in there and go, oh shit, I got here at phase four. This is lame. I guess I'll wait around for some other, like, that's
That'd
the traditional.
Amazing, man. Get the big chest.
You just
the
get
end.
The big chest. That's who like right out of there. Yeah.
Oh, good point. Yeah, actually.
Be the helm.
Maybe we'd like that idea. Now that you say that, that's a good idea. But we did a thing where we sort of maximized it last night. We were jumping from the harder bosses to harder bosses, not really cleaning up the trashy bosses or the sort of mid-level guys. We were going straight for all the big ones in the different phases from Crossroads all the way down to Ratchet and then back up again. And what that was doing,
basically on the mini-map, just all the actual little skulls. Yeah. We were just going back and forth between
yeah.
those.
Yeah, just jumping around as fast as we could.
You didn't get a chance of anything else.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I felt like less of a defender, more like just a guy who was like, I'm going to kill that guy, and like this person over here is gravely wounded, but you don't reward any shards, so I'm going to go now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't feel that heroic. I mm-hmm. just felt very opportunistic, but yeah. that's me.
That's no, it was all of us. Like, that's what we did, and that's the way you maximize your shard intake, so you can go buy shit from the little Diablo 3-looking treasure goblin over there who has stuff, if you weren't aware of that. But anyway, there is that, and there is so much more to talk about. My gosh, let's just dive right in. All right, so the Demon Hunter story, let's start with that.
Spoiler warning.
Wait.
We're going to spoil the shit out of everything.
All right.
Spoiler
yeah.
for everything.
Yeah,
and what are you going to spoil today?
Everything.
Yeah. There you go. Scott got it. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. You need to go on vacation and then to get me. All right, let's do it again. What are we going to spoil today?
Everything. There you go. That's not bad. Actually, it was terrible. All right, so here's the deal. we're going to talk about all sorts of spoilers. There's nothing untouchable about what's going on, and I don't want people to think anything's too earth-shattering here. There's some stuff, but a lot of it, I don't know, you could kind of glean from the opening cinematic we got at Gamescom or wherever the hell they showed that last year. I mean, you kind of had an idea of where things were maybe headed, but all of that has come to fruition now, and there's some good and there's some bad and there's lots of in between, and it's super epic. And I think it goes without saying, unless I want to hear if anyone disagrees with this, but I don't think they've ever gone to the lengths they've gone here with their pre-patch stuff. I've never seen anything that digs as deep into both into gameplay, into progression, into story the way that they have here. Like, what other patch has done it?
This is
not in this game. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's basically 2 hours of the beginning of the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. I really think they approached it that way. They were thinking, you know what? We have, I don't know, 30 hours of gameplay to get to end game. Let's get the first 2 hours and give it to everyone for free.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that. And on top of it, that first experience is super impactful. I mean, we're in spoiler territory, right?
Yeah, so, we're in. So if you haven't already backed out, then it's on you, people. Yeah.
By the way, I should say, spoilers. One more thing, too, is Do things in the correct order. Play your main character first before you play Demon Hunter.
No, Dills is dead, so right about this. I'm glad you brought that up again. We talked about it last night, but it's weird how some... Well, I don't know if it's weird, but
You see it from all sides. Really, what you want to do is play it on main Horde Alliance and then Demon Hunter. Like, do all of it, right? So
yeah, if you can't do your opposing faction, like I didn't, I went and watched their videos as soon as I was done with mine. So there's, you know, you can kind of get the right idea over there. And also understand why the uproar happened, and also how many of your alliance friends didn't actually see the Horde side one, because they are pissed if they haven't seen it.
So even if you have seen it, should we talk about this first before the Demon Hunter?
Yeah, let's do that. That's fine. You know what? That's a good idea. We'll do it in the order that you should do it, and we'll talk about it in the same order.
So first of all, Tyrion like dies in the middle of it, and it's just like, oh hey. By the way, that guy's dead. That he was a big deal, right? Okay, never mind. Let's move on.
Tyrion, though, I mean, both of them. Well, it's big deaths throughout. Tyrion's screams are like, that's too much. That's like hearing like your kids screaming or something. That hit me to my core.
Yeah.
Because he's all like, "Don't worry, heroes, it's a trap. But you know, the light will save me." And then he's got the most visceral, blood-curdling scream of real pain like he's probably never felt before.
Mm-hmm. It might not have been the most heroic of deaths, but it was it proved how powerful.
Mm-hmm. I like it, and it felt very much like a Game of Thrones. It felt real. It felt like, you know what? It doesn't matter how heroically brave you are. Yeah. If you are being tortured and killed in such a painful manner, you're going to make some screams. It's going to hurt.
These are demons, dude, with insane amounts of power, and they just grab you up and then just kill you over a vat of lava.
Yeah, they breathe right over the top of your ball of safety. Yeah, you're done. And not only that,
they
like
you.
There's this
you
great there's a great piece of narrative there where it's like, hey, that rad religion that made you who you are, the light, is not even enough here. Like, you're screwed. Like, this is there was something really powerful about that. I really like that.
Because they always and say about also, how they're gonna, you know, oh, we're gonna make you feel like you're actually in peril. But man, I kind of did at that point. I kind of felt like, oh,
because then all of a sudden you turn around to fight this damn thing, right? Yeah. And you're like, you know. I was waiting for the giant wave of kill everybody thing that was going to come. Although apparently it didn't, but whatever. Mm. I mean, it was just that also, was a scary moment.
Yeah.
Super, super useful story-wise. The Ashbringer is probably at the bottom of that lake now, so you can go and go like, oh, hey.
Well, if you do the class quest, Well, I thought we were spoiling everything.
We're spoiling.
Okay.
Well, that hasn't really been done yet. Yeah.
That's all part of it. So, you know, the thing is, what was annoying is in the beta and alpha, you know, we knew that Tyrion died because when we picked up the Ashbringer, like, you have this whole thing with his like dying last words, and you know, it's kind of now feels a little bit nicer to be like, okay, cool. You know, he ascends to the light or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. It's cool. But obviously, if you're a ret paladin, you get to look forward to having Ashbringer, which is
the Ashbringer
pretty much
is like
the main reason to do that.
It's like Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. Yeah. You pick it up and start hearing all the voices. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, just like that.
And so that was gruesome, but the death of King... I'm sorry, I have to take a moment of silence.
This upset me because a lot of people reported being able to see a really cool cinematic, but on my computer at least, I don't know if it was the Legion of Ninjas chopping onions, but it was just all blurry and like tears filled my eyes.
It was hard to see. I know the graphics
were terrible. Anything, and it was really upsetting.
It was, and not only, you know, obviously Varian dying is going to be a big moment, but also the way he died, it was like painful, like with this green orb forced into his body, and he screams again, kind of like, you know, that what you said about Tyrion applies here. It feels like he's actually in horrible agony, and you have, you know, the douchebag Gul'dan laughing, and you want to, you know, and all of this because you freaking Horde couldn't just stand your ground and provide the support that we needed to basically the reason we could have killed Gul'dan right there.
Okay, hold on now.
This is like, why we don't like the Alliance, because listen to them whine, dude. Like, baby,
he's hurt. Quick, let's go back home because we can't handle it. Oh, hey, look.
We lost our world chief too, douche.
Yeah. In the same war.
It's over.
over. He didn't even have a hero to kill a bunch of demons thing. He just got stabbed and then fell over and broke his tooth.
There is no excuse. There is no excuse for the Horde leaving on that.
I'm just glad that like hunters don't like for like a survival hunter doesn't have their artifact weapon be Vol'jin's tooth. Yeah. Like that. You know, like, because you know that is. I thought like once it broke off and it was like almost featured on the floor. I thought like, let's not pick that up for some sort of power, please. Mm. It's a tooth. It's a tusk. Come
it's a
on.
Little offhand.
Let the man live.
It's a little offhand to get you a discount on jerk chicken next time you're in some Jamaican restaurant.
Hey, man, what you be saying about the trolls?
All right. So you spilled the beans.
Don't you think it's difficult to justify the retreat, though?
No, we were being completely overrun.
You've seen it all, right?
I think this proves that the Alliance are just a bunch of dummies. Like, why didn't you retreat? What the hell were you doing? We were like, hey, we got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the next time we fight, you know, the Lich King or Illidan or something, we should just, you know, let's just, why didn't you retreat then?
We went through and we helped kill.
I think if Jaina has her way, I think we will. That's the dark thing. It's like, you know, this plays out afterwards. So, you know, both faction leaders die. Yeah, King Varian Rin, you know, High King of the Alliance now for going on, what's it been like, 8 years, six mm-hmm. years? I forget what it's been, but a long time.
Yeah.
A long time he's been part of our game. You know, when it launched, he wasn't. He was introduced with the comics, then in the game. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal. And they made a big deal about giving us, like, the Alliance's thrall. Mm-hmm. They were like, yeah, we're going to give you a guy who you can rally behind. It's like this guy. And then, bam, he's gone. Mm. And we've got Anduin, his kind of formerly peace-loving son that's been a bit of a, you know, he's grown up with the game, much like a lot of us. You know, he's become a man in this time. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Vol'jin, war chief of the Horde for all of 10 minutes, who, like, yeah, even in the scenario, Thrall's like,
that was the lamest thing, too, because they give very most heroic
calling
death
you that. It's because it's so soon. Like, you know, no one's calling you that, mate. And so, yeah, it's... Yeah.
Yeah, you're so robot-y.
They've corrupted you.
I kind of enjoyed it. I'm not gonna lie. You sounded like one of those countless fell reavers we killed yesterday. Just a little bit. There you go.
But the thing is, it's so
John Jagger in the chat brings up a great point. Horde's getting overrun and retreats. What jerks? Alliance then starts to get overrun and retreats. Heroes?
Yeah. Yeah, they retreated too.
We only retreated because you retreated. How can you?
We were up on the ridge. We saw what was happening up there. You guys weren't on the ridge.
I love the fact, though. I thought when I first saw the Horde one, I played through Alliance first, and then I played through Horde. And that was beautiful to have that other perspective. And it was like, but the thing is, I kind of felt it's a little bit like kind of metagaming in an RP server. Like, you can't just because you can see the guy's name, you're not meant to be like, oh, hey, Dave. You know, if you've never met him before, it's like, oh, greetings. Who are you? Mm-hmm. I am Dave. Okay, hi, Dave. You know, and it kind of felt a bit like I get why the Alliance in like Gen Greymane feels like, man, the Horde, they are a bunch of, you know, cowardly, I've got no time for those backstabbers. And then you kind of, when you see it from the Horde perspective, you know, you get a bit soft around it. I kind of wish I hadn't.
Look, our war chief had already been stabbed. It was like dead, essentially, already at that moment. That's already happened.
In all fairness, he didn't die until quite
chilling.
A bit later.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that was a mortal wound. We
fell
it.
Down.
He got to say goodbye to his Darkspear people. Listen, here's there's two problems with the entire mess. One is Vol'jin was like this throwaway leader. We never really got much meat out of that since he was placed there as war chief. Thrall ran off and disappeared and also took away our Garrosh kill for us, which is fine. But he hasn't really been up to much. And then here, he just was a bridge maker. Like, he's the engineer in this scenario yesterday.
And even then, like, the reskin Jaina bridge, like, that's the problem is, like, both sides, it felt quite, you know, kind of, you know, you're both playing through the same thing. Only it's, you know, yours is going to be red and yours is going to be blue. Mm-hmm. At that point, I didn't like the fact that, you know, him and Jaina were both exactly the same, you know, graphic model of bridge. As silly as it sounded, it just felt very lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's a temporary scenario.
Yeah.
So I don't want them to spend too long on it. You know, past the amazing cinematic.
I think it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know. So I'll give you one thing though to the Horde. If you hadn't retreated like the cowards you are, we could have killed Gul'dan and we would have ended the entire expansion.
Do you think so?
Right
did you
there
see
in
that?
Scenario.
Did you see that line of
have
demons
you watched
coming
the Horde
towards
side
us
at all?
I feel like
you still okay because you saw what was coming, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was non-stop demons.
And that's what you do in war, sir.
Yeah.
So anyway, if
like
you had
Varian had just manned up and threw his damn sword through Gul'dan's head instead of just dying like a dumbass, then
what?
You know,
oh my god,
unreasonable, Patrick. Then I could be unreasonable too.
Hold on now. Oh, wait. So I got a question about Varian's sacrifice in the first place. When he jumps off, kills the Fellreaver, which was way cool. The ship flies off. Gen Greymane's up there going rah and leaves. He's
by the way, give this to my son.
Yeah,
and, you know, someone's already made that into a, you know, he's going to open it up. And it's just going to be a dick butt.
Of course,
that's
it
all
is.
I want.
Going
to
be
that's
a dick
all
butt.
I want is him to open up that, break the seal. It's a dick butt.
But this is my, but this is my point. His sacrifice is kind of weirdly suicidal. He's not really. What's he doing? He's just going to go
die.
He
was stopping that big infernal. Was going to take the giant, out this the ship, the Sky Shatterer.
Okay.
So he was like, you know what? I got to do this. You know, I got to be the king. I got to. You know,
all
save
right.
my people.
I'll
I'm gonna,
get,
you know, and that it's all about paying the, you know, the ultimate price. And you know, at what point is it, you know, at what point is it futile?
Mm.
And I think like it shows that whole battle achieved nothing.
Mm.
We lost three of our top tier characters from the game, and we didn't stop them. We didn't do anything. You know, potentially we slowed them down. It's kind of now the invasion events feel like quite hollow in that we're. You know, clearing them out every 4 hours, you know, they come back. I guess that's the futility of it, is that, you know, we do it, but then we've got to do it again. And as we get closer to release, it's going to get more and more frequent and more plentiful.
I think the idea is just they don't stop. They have like infinite resources, right?
And that's the other thing.
That's
exactly.
Why
we
had
see
to re-
all
why we
the demons we've ever killed, like Jaraxxus and, you know, all these kind of big classic ones. They're all there in that last encounter.
So
and it's like, what?
The,
so they
thing...
none of those mattered, really. You know, we defeated them, but then they just went to the Twisting Nether, and now they can come back because the portal's open. They, you know, balls.
They
you know,
have
got a
into,
real challenge.
Yeah,
that gets into spoilers for the Illidan story, which I think, I don't know if you want to get into it, but it's really cool. Maybe we can talk about it later. But yeah, the demons can't die unless you kill them in their home world
in the Twisting
Nether.
Yeah, which is
pretty cool.
That's actually been part of lore for a long time around
for ages.
The demons.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right, but
it's just like the first time it's really being presented to us that way, like in the game. But the thing about the retreat and all that kind of stuff, though, is like that was done not out of cowardice. I'm going to defend the Horde one more time here.
Mm.
That was done out of intelligence because the idea was like there's no way that this little group that we have here is going to be able to take this on and win. We'll just all die.
Mm-hmm.
Like every single one of us is going to die. All of the Alliance are going to die. Everyone's going to die here. And then we'll just get overrun. So the idea was we got to get the hell out of here, regroup, and understand what's coming for us and get everybody on board to come out and do this. Now, obviously, we see because of perspectives that that's going to be difficult to make happen, which is what I think is kind of that kicks off the whole damn story, right? Which is like, how are we going to get everyone to work together? Because this is insane. What's
this is
happening.
Real bad, right? And you also have don't forget.
It's
you
really
got
interesting though. This is how this is like you watch a movie and you're just like a rom com, and you're like 2 hours wouldn't have ever happened if the two people would have just gotten together and said, "Hey, this is what actually happened. I'm sorry, I made that phone call, and it sounded like you know, it's like that's
it's kind of like why Seinfeld doesn't work in the modern era, because every single episode could be solved by a phone.
Cell phone would solve everything.
That's every single Seinfeld.
I will say also that basically Blizzard must be, you know, rubbing their hands right now going like, this is exactly what
we did
wanted.
It.
You know, it's very well done. If you wanted to have some animosity between the Horde and Alliance, oh my God.
It's a great way to do it. Yeah,
isn't that brilliant how we had an instance, a whole expansion where it was meant to be putting the war back into Warcraft. And yet this one, where we're kind of meant to be united against a common foe, and I think we feel more at each other's throats than we have in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I kind of feel like the invasions take something away from that. As I'm here, you know, in Tor Amil killing demons, that kind of feels like, you know, the Horde are quite happy for my help at this point. You know, we are fighting alongside one another.
Oh, I don't know what,
oh,
your,
no, I,
what,
I kill
what your experience
alliance.
Is on your yeah. server, but everyone's killing everyone on mine.
Yeah,
it's oh, not. Wow. It's so loving on mine.
You get flagged, dude. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
it's bad. If you're flagged, you're dead. And it was great getting that achievement last night when some random alliance died and everyone in our group got an achievement. I was like, sweet, dude. That level 70-something shouldn't have freaking been here. But here's the thing. So when they were... I want to just make this point, so clearly, I'm defending the Horde here, but you've got Thrall down. You've got Bane Bloodhoof down. She's got to call
Bane
in her.
Isn't down.
Yeah, he is. They got to call in her Valkyrie or whatever the hell they're called and pick him up and take him out of there. He's hurt in our version. In the video, he's helping somebody.
Deus Ex Machina.
But in our version where we're seeing his model in the game, he is on the ground. He has to get picked up by one of her things and carried. So you've got. Our major leaders, all of them are either...
But that's why they all respect her afterwards, and they all say, like, you know, we'd all be gone as were it not for you.
Yeah. They would have all been dead. She saved everybody, and that is a hard decision.
Had they all died, she could have brought them back.
All right. But here's... She could have done that, but here's the... but here's my... In my mind, this is why this resonates. I think Tripster said it well earlier. There's something about that conflict where you see... When you go see the other side's view, the other side's perspective... Suddenly you have not necessarily empathy, but you now go, oh, well, that would be a hard call. Like, you gain some appreciation for that it's not all black and white, that there's some nuance to it. That's a pretty good message for lots of things. You know what I mean? And I think it resonates with people. So it totally works for me.
It showed her as a leader, right, too, right then and there, like, to make a call like that.
Yeah, it's a hard call. And
I just think I'm sitting there the whole time thinking, I still remember Wrathgate, yo. What up? Like, we're just going to... We're just gonna like that? Forget about that.
It wasn't her though, was it?
It was
it was factions within her leadership. Yeah. So you've got to kind of feel come on, love.
I just think it's interesting and funny that this scenario is making the two Americans advocate retreat and the French guy advocate, you know, battle.
Sticking around, fighting to the last one.
I don't
advocate
everybody dying. No, I don't advocate that. Apparently you do though. So all right.
Yeah, that is telling yourself
your arms,
that.
Just swear he will stand his ground until you're all dead.
It is, but again, just a masterful scenario. Yeah. Amazing fun to play through.
Yeah.
Reasonably good quest rewards, especially if you haven't played some of the kind of Raid Finder stuff. You get item level 700 stuff, gets you well geared for the upcoming expansion.
Fresh characters are like good to go.
Yeah, ready to roll. It's great. I did this whole thing four times, four different characters. I watched the cinematics, three of those four. Fourth one, I skipped most of it just to hurry up. But it was fun every time. I never felt grindy about it. I don't feel grindy about the invasions. I think they're handled really well. This is certainly not the first MMO, as I mentioned last night, and I'll say it again. It's not the first MMO to feature rifts. In fact, there's a game called Rift that was all about rifts opening up in the sky and you having to stop these things from happening. But the way they've handled it with the back-end tech that essentially gives you a fresh one every time you go in is really smart. And, I think that stuff's really, really good. And I'm really shocked how much I ended up liking it. I usually don't like this pre-patch stuff. It usually feels a little... artificial, and this doesn't. This feels significant and meaty, and there's reasons to do it, and there's rewards for doing it. The last expansion had none of that in the early going for me, and this makes me just want to get in right now and play it again. So it's very impressive.
All right, we should talk about Demon Hunters. All right,
let's do it. Demon Hunters.
I'll tell you this: I did mess up because I was so damn excited to play Demon Hunter. No, I went in immediately to Demon Hunter stuff and was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah,
what
I did this too.
Because you see things out of order, essentially. Yeah. So
I kept
save everyone from doing
like
that.
As much as I could. Like, do your main character first before the Demon Hunters. But
Yeah, I did the
really
same thing.
It's really important that you follow that because you see Vol'jin.
Yeah, you miss out on your faction
before
death,
you even saw what the hell happened.
Yeah, it's
you
super
just see
weird.
Him being burnt on a pyre. And you're like, was he Darth Vader all along? Is
well, he was in the. You know
that,
what I
way,
thought?
That scene's amazing.
That scene is good. It's really good. Man, but when you're in Grimash Hold and you see that happen as. Because I did the same thing, started as Demon Hunter to see it. And I went, oh, he's got that. Is that the wound from back when he got hurt by a Garrosh in that cave in Pandaria? Is that the wound?
Yeah, when he got stabbed by the dude. Yeah, no.
I'm like, what happened to his tusk? Like, I had all kinds of questions. And. Then I figured it out.
I'm gonna have to buy a book, aren't I, Blizzard?
You know what though? I gotta say something. But I gotta say something about how they handled that with all three of the ways to get in there. So it's essentially three ways: your existing characters, the Demon Hunter by starting that one new, or a boosted character.
Boosts are amazing. Now.
Yeah, the boosts are good.
The boosted
so,
scene on the airships are phenomenal.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Like, I didn't know so I was going to get that.
I'm annoyed because I boosted a character, obviously, before this part of the patch. I didn't get any of that. So, you know, so I got to learn how to play
different?
My mage the old fashioned
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it is different. So I did it. I boosted. I'm an idiot, and I spent $60 on a druid. Whatever. I don't know what's
Nothing
wrong with me.
Nothing idiotic about that.
But I did that enjoy yesterday.
Your entertainment.
So it's just the recap of how you play your class, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's
like
yeah.
It's all voiced. It's all kind of well put together. I mean, again, it's going to be an absolute pain in the ass if they have to kind of balance stuff and figure out like, oh, guys, we removed that spell. Oh, we're going to go back and change this tutorial bit now. Mm-hmm. And I guess each expansion, they got to make a new one because will be boosted into a higher level and a different story. But a genius move on Blizzard's part. They've
right, that's
really,
the one we
really
talked about
down.
From the beta, which I raved about like a couple of months
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, but I don't remember, Patrick. Sure the thing is, I think it was, but I don't think it was. Was it connected to the invasion stuff, though? I don't remember that.
Yeah, you're on the airship? Like before, yeah, you're on the airship. Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay. I mean, I know it is because I did it yesterday.
I concur, Patrick, in shorts.
Yeah,
I concur.
Yeah, it's good.
Right.
It's super
good.
I
was just making sure it didn't change in the movie.
So when you saw it before, though, that was all tied to the invasion, right?
Yeah, it was basically you were in the airship, and then it launched into the invasion thing right away. But there's nothing additional in between, is it?
No. It's like
you have all the voicing and stuff. You know?
Yeah. Right.
All the VO. Yeah. I had an orc lady training me on what to do. She was very nice. I liked her a lot. She was a good teacher. I'd give her 4 stars.
Nice. How many stars?
Five. 4 out of 5.
Okay.
Well, she loses a star because orc ladies are really gross looking. That's the only.
Yeah. Well, it's not what I look for in a tutor. Mm-mm. But you know, each to their own.
Yeah. So anyway, that was great, and that druid's fun. Patrick, you're right. Druids are rad right now. Balanced druid is really, really fun. It's basically like a mage of a different rage. Never played a druid in the game before, so this was like a whole new experience for me. I know a lot of the stuff is the same, but there's some nice changes. From what I can tell. But before we get to Demon Hunters real quick, everybody feeling pretty good about their main specs, or are we even settled yet? I saw Dill's playing you were playing a mage last night. And
I have now 6 level 100s. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of and I only boosted one. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing some leveling.
Yeah.
But Hunter will be my thing. I'm not changing. I'll probably be doing Marksman. I probably won't be doing Survival. Even though it's fun to mess with, maybe in PvP I will, because I hear that it's actually pretty good there. But I just, I can't wrap my head around standing near all those melee homies. You
Especially
know?
With your limited
kinda
zoom.
I need to be out there at the peripherals.
Yeah, and the limited zoom is showing its ugly head with giant reavers.
Oh, with the huge bosses and stuff. Yeah, but it is better. I mean, it is better now. It's farther back.
It's a little.
Make
better.
Sure you have your thing set to maximum in your settings.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to go.
They actually default you to a really small one, a very short distance.
Yeah, so. That one is no good. No moss if you're up there close to their feet. It's horrible.
But I think that I'm going to definitely still be maining Hunter, but I'm thinking I might just be playing a lot of Death Knight in PvP because the Unholy Death Knight is just so strong. Mm. Feels really, really good. And it's like a fun spec to do, too.
Yeah.
You basically apply like festering wounds on the people and then you burst them. So, yeah.
Jeez, it's disgusting.
My girlfriend in high school, he used to love like picking like my back and stuff. Like, basically,
nice.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it gets kinky. I like it.
Oh, that one really rubbed you wrong, Patrick. You like the sound of that.
Sorry, buddy.
Man. So, Patrick, what are you...
Yeah, I'm used to it with the horde.
Patrick, what are you maining or playing, or what are you sticking to?
I don't know. I might... So, my heart is torn between the druid and the mage. I think I would like to play the mage, but the issue is druid gets everything so much easier because you don't queue for anything. You just, you know, especially now that you can do any spec and you have the most of the items that do, you know, multi stats. So you can probably do DPS tank or healing relatively easily. So, you know, for any dungeon or raid, you're going to be queuing into the thing instantly. So
getting those bangs.
Once you mage, but I might do Druid as the main. I'm not 100%.
So I think is Matt Mercer's the voice of the mage artifact weapon, isn't he?
I believe so. Yeah.
I think one like the frost one or something like that.
I swear half the Critical Role people are in this thing. I mean, obviously Liam's doing brilliant.
Well, I think
work.
Exactly. Well, because they're all, you know, and obviously Jaina, mm-hmm. you know, they're all prestigious voice actors who've worked on WoW all the time anyway.
For years. Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of voices to be done now. Mm-hmm. So much voice content in the game. I love it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I'm telling you, I mean, we're friends with Liam, so we're a little biased, but he is killing it with this Illidan stuff.
Yeah, I would love him to turn around and just say to the script guy, like, guys, are you sure I should ask if they're prepared again? Is it not too much now? Oh, no, totally. People love it. It's the biggest thing. Just keep asking if they're prepared, or tell them they aren't, or maybe say that they are.
Yeah, what I love is that it's not just, you know, his catchphrase. He's doing different versions of it. It's like, you're not prepared. Maybe you're prepared. Yeah. Are you prepared?
Yeah. It kind of feels like he was dropped on the head as a baby. Yeah. It does, like, he's like,
oh,
there's
no,
just something not quite there.
Yeah.
It's the Hodor thing. So, oh, you know,
it could be.
It has... Oh my god.
It's almost like he's been walking around with a head. No, never mind. I'll just stop there.
Look, see, he's got a little skull in his hand. But wait, whose skull is that? Oh, I know what I was going to say. Something John, who's in the chat, said last night, and I agree with him 100%. I have never been so invested in a villain as I am in Gul'dan. And I mean, even more than I was the Gul'dan of Warlords.
Like, he just keeps getting better and better.
Oh, my gosh. He's just like, freaking, you bastard. There's a look on his face. Yeah. Those guys killed it with their in-game cinematic team. They just murdered it this time. And they just made, like, when he turned Varian Wrynn into that glowing, yellow, green, awful death, by the way, I'm not convinced he's dead.
I like
dead.
How there was no dispute as well. Like, they're definitely dead. Mm-hmm. Like, Vol'jin got cremated. And Wrynn got blasted into a million pieces.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, boom, okay. That's happening.
I'm not sure he's really dead though, Varian. I mean, listen, it was some kind of fell energy bullshit. He could come back as some.
Well, everybody will be
like a boss, but he's not going to come back as Varian Wrynn. He's going to come back for something.
That's what I mean. It'd be some corrupted thing from the past. He'll show up in like the second raid or something, and the essence of Varian Wrynn needs to be stopped or something.
Well, everybody who's like a major character who dies, like some artifact of their body becomes important at some point. But no, he is dead. Yeah.
He's dead as he was as
plus,
king.
I mean, Anduin is the king now. Mm. And we know from the comic that he is king for a long, long time. So, Varian's definitely gone.
Yeah.
I hope we don't fight him because I think it cheapens it.
Yeah,
I think the fact is he died
on
the field.
I tend to agree. Here's the thing. The one thing I want to mention about that cinematic that I almost forgot, that I absolutely love. There were lots of little details, little small things. What they're doing with that, with their in-engine tools and then their finish work later is really, really impressive stuff. Better than it's ever been. But there's a scene where they're all fighting hand-to-hand, sword-to-sword, and Greymane is just tearing into a dude. Mm-hmm. And Wrynn looks at him and says, Again, he has to yell at him twice to get him to stop tearing into that guy. And he turns around and finally gets his attention. Little tiny little like narrative, like cinematic pieces like that were just giving me chills.
Like,
I love
by the
that.
Way, he is a werewolf.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Yeah. I mean,
but even then, like when you're flying back to Anduin, like his daughter's saying like, oh, man, my dad was pissed. And then like she's like, oh, we all Gilneans are really angry people. You know, it's the whole wolf thing. We're cursed. That's the fact of it. You know, we have anger issues.
Yeah.
But again, Greymane previously has been a nothing part. Mm. And the fact he's got a new model, he looks great. He's got some lines. He's got a cool voice actor. You know, all of it really works for me. I love it. Mm. I still get annoyed that Gallywix looks like a normal goblin. Like you see how cool he looks on the loading screen mm-hmm. when you load in and he's this big fat kind of weird looking goblin, you know, he'd be amazing. But evidently he's not a big enough character yet for them to make a new model for him.
Yeah. There's little things like that, like where they,
and then Anduin's hair is terrible.
Yeah.
it looks like, you know, the worst member of NSYNC, or like all of
he
the
has
bad
banana
members
hair.
Of NSYNC together. It's terrible hair. It's really weird. It looks awkward.
Yeah.
He looks a little bit like Arturus Menck's son in StarCraft. What's his name? Victarion?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
He looks a bit like that. That's what he kind of reminds me of.
He's a bit like that, yeah.
But obviously, he's a good one now.
Yeah, he's all right. He's, you know, he's heal things and shit. Also, what's the deal with, who am I? Oh, I noticed when I walked into the throne room there in Grommash Hold to get the Sylvanas reveal, which we haven't really talked about. Sylvanas is the new war chief, everybody, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'll tell you, but when I went in there, I'm running around talking to people, and I see Bloodhoof and everybody standing around, and I go up to Vol'jin, and I see his chat, you know, I can see the green wound thing with a wrap around it, but both his tusks are there. And I thought, oh, that's cool. They, you know, I don't know. They got some
glued it back together.
They got some dentist there on staff.
Some
or whatever.
Mad mojo man. Yeah.
So then the thing starts and it's gone again. So I was only a tiny bit bugged that they couldn't, like, you know, they matched up the wound, but they couldn't remember to, like, change the geometry on the thing. Not that big a deal. But also, when you touch him or poke him before the cinematic kicks in, he's all, "What can old Vol'jin do for you, man?" He's like super jazzed and all up and going. And then it kicks in, and then he's super, you know, out of it and going to die. And that was a great little scene. And there was a part where he says, "It's time for you to come out of the shadows and lead." Just really well delivered, incredibly cinematic, like just badass. That whole thing was just great. And I love her. She's great. Are you kidding me? Of course I'm glad she's War Chief. She needs some redemption. She's like she's the most tragic character in the lore. She's just awesome.
Super tragic. But like the thing is too, I think after having Vol'jin as the War Chief for a while, it's like to have a badass warrior again who, like, you know, is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because Thrall, I was like, yeah, Thrall could just, like, beat anybody.
Yeah.
You kind of get that feeling again. Not that Vol'jin wasn't, you know, look, he can do stuff. Sure. Certainly not anymore, but
He's a shadow hunter. He's got.
I know, but he.
Yeah, he
wasn't
never
doing
like
much shadow
that imposing
hunting.
No one ever was like, oh, you know, if you didn't want to come up against, like, you know, the high elf ranger that had been raised by Arthas and was, like, you know, leader of the undead, you was like, oh man, she is messed up.
Yeah.
Vol'jin was just, you know, he's like, hey man, you want some jerk chicken, brethren?
He was supposed to be the war chief because we had just gotten through having the worst possible war chief ever, right? So we were like, let's get a guy who's not going to do that.
You know what he was? You know? He was the Gerald Ford of video games. He really was. Because Nixon was a complete dick and ruined everything, and you had to get Nixon out of there, Garage Hellscream. And who are you left with? I'm Gerald Ford, and I'll just take care of things.
You know Vol'jin's not going to try to kill everybody, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, he's a safe pick. Let's go ahead. We'll have him for a while.
He's the Gerald
Ford
of Warcraft.
Sylvanas is, like, not a safe pick at all.
No.
So, you know.
No. Also,
at least Vol'jin was smart enough to understand that.
I'm not convinced that Ghen Greymane's just going to lightly go into the, you know, back to Gil'neas and act like nothing's going on. I feel like there might be a power
Sylvanas
struggle.
Sylvanas did basically kill his son. You know, like, he didn't like her to begin with, and now, like, he's got extra triple double reasons as to why not to like her.
Yeah.
And that's good. It's good to have people on either side who just straight up hate each other. That's cool.
Yeah. I like Greymane a lot. That guy's a badass. Heroes has made him more important to me than I used to care. I used to think, well, you got to get werewolves in this game somehow. Right. But after you mess around with him in Heroes, you're like, no, he's kind of awesome. Like, that guy's super cool. And this cemented that for me. So I think he's going to play a bigger role in things, which I think is really cool. Mm. All of that stuff is great. All right, so Demon Hunters, back to them. It's a little weird because they have their own cinematic arc the entire time. There's some great cutscenes. And then they show a piece of the Harbinger's video at the end, which has zero connection to what you were just watching. We talked about it last night on the mumble a bit, Dills. It's a weird move, yeah. Like, just a strange.
It is. It's kind of like, this is what demon hunters are, right there. Or this is like Illidan's little bit of a story here. Like, I think they're just trying to give you some sort of semblance of why these people actually matter in the grand scheme of things, and not directly like, here's this part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think they're just really proud of what they made there, so they just wanted to put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really important because it shows you, it answers the question of what makes them different from the demons.
Sure.
And that's a question that everyone asks them in the lore. So
yeah. Do you guys like the Patrick, the whole let's go unlock everybody from their little green prisons, and that whole bit was pretty good?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. The way it was structured, the Mardoom thing was really good. You know, it was classic, but it worked. It was well paced. And it introduced you to the Demon Hunters, not only the characters and the gameplay, but you know the class as a whole and their brethren and all of this. And then I loved the break. You know, you get to the end of Mardoom and you're coming back and you're saving, you know, you're getting what Illidan told you to get, and you get out of the portal and you're like, wait, what? Of course, you know, we know what's happened. But playing as the Demon Hunter who comes out and he's in front of Shadow Song, and you're like, oh crap, that was not supposed to happen. And then you have a break of 10 years.
Yeah. That really grabbed my nostalgia bone and yanked it real hard. It was awesome.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, the only thing I'm a tiny bit, not satisfied with is the fact that, Maiev is the one who frees you. And when you've, again, we're going to talk a little bit about it later, I think, but when you've read the Illidan book, there's no way she would do that. No way. Mm. And that was a tiny, you know, bone to pick. But aside from that, then you go through the entire, the whole other thing. And again, Gul'dan is here being the jerk that he is. I thought it worked perfectly. And then it's not even over. You also have that tiny bit at the end where you prove to the Alliance that you're actually on their side.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a really good storyline quest overall.
Yeah, I liked it. Did they need to? Well, okay. So the last year, the teaser before we got the Legion announcement, or at the Legion announcement, was a fully CGI rendered Gul'dan going into the whatever the hell it's called, the cave thing to unlock Illidan,
the Vault of the Wardens.
Vault of the Wardens, and that's not who let him out though. In this story, so is that a little weird? It's a little
Illidan.
Illidan.
They didn't let him out.
Well, but he did though, right? Like he went.
It's.
I know when we get the expansion, we're going to be seeing Illidan again. But who let? Did Gul'dan let him out?
We might not have seen that scene yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't seen it. Yeah. It's basically Gul'dan and Cordana.
Oh, that's right. You're right. We haven't seen Gul'dan. You're absolutely right. We haven't seen Illidan since. Until they all got busted out, but we've not seen him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
You know, when you go back to the Black Temple, you like, see Illidan die again, right?
Okay. And
you're
right.
Like,
you're right.
Okay. Cool. He's dead.
Yeah.
And then it's like all that stuff kind of starts to kick off.
Right. And then you get your time.
Yeah, that hasn't happened. He's still encased in carbonite.
Right. So. And the skull he has is, you know, Gul'dan, so we forget there's a time travel
thing.
That's
all, yeah, that's the weird timeline stuff.
Yeah. It's not as Gul'dan says in the amazing audio drama, as he says it very well and many times, that was not me. So
wow, that was intense, dude. Well done.
But it wasn't him. I feel for the guy. He keeps getting picked on.
All right, before we talk about the radio play thing that Blizzard put out, we need to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. All right, you bunch of nerds. You are nerds. I know that because you like World of Warcraft and you like Blizzard games and you're listening to The Instance. I don't know a better way to describe how nerdy you people are. Who am I calling you people, right? Well, I got good news for you. As a nerd, you need Loot Crate. Now, I know a bunch of you probably already have them, but for those of you who don't, why don't you have them? With Loot Crate, you get collectibles, apparel, sometimes World of Warcraft stuff. I've gotten some from them myself. And more from your favorite pop culture franchises, delivering right to your door every single month. We're talking a new t-shirt in every crate, figurines, comics, stuff for your kitchen, a wide range assortment, I guess is the word I was looking for, of exclusive items you can't get anywhere else. Of fan favorite franchises like Harry Potter, Marvel Comics, World of Warcraft, Fallout 4, Star Wars, and so much more. And you get all this for less than $20 a month. Loot Crate. Go check them out. I got a deal for you. So I already told you the price is less than $20 a month. And by the way, you have until the 19th, 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. When the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. And make sure you head to lootcrate.com right now. Get on there quick. Go to lootcrate.com/instance. Just like the name says, no the, just instance, and enter the code instance and save $3 on your new subscription. So that's an additional $3 off using the code instance at lootcrate.com/instance. Do it. You know you'll want to. I still haven't heard most of that. I'm going to binge on it this weekend.
Oh, really? Dude.
I hear it's great. I'm super jazzed about it. It's totally up my alley, too. I love that kind of stuff. So I'm all
thing
in.
Is, it's not a radio play. It's an audio drama.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a radio play.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah.
What's... So good. They need to do like 100 of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just so good.
Do you think they'll keep doing it? Do you think that's they have it in them to do
no.
it? No.
I think that they might do a couple.
For expansions.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's proven that it's a successful thing. But as with all things Blizzard, like, they have to produce a script. It has to get translated into a billion different languages. They have to be super, like, globally responsible. And it's just like, oh, guys, just do it.
Well,
just
yeah,
do it.
Like somebody was telling us last night, apparently putting it in all the places was really annoying.
Yeah, like 40 different uploads.
All the languages and then all the places where people can get it.
That's rough.
Which made me wonder, like, why not just say, hey, I get the languages, but hey, if you want it, it's on the website. That's where it is.
Yeah.
Just
yeah. That's the thing. Blizzard's, you know, Blizzard gets called up on that stuff. And, I mean, I still get annoyed because, you know, Karazhan comes out for America before it comes out for Europe. And it's just like, oh, man, you sons of... And then, like, I log on to America. I got to buy all my cards again if I want to, you know. It's just like,
well,
oh, so certain things are okay.
Terpster.
Well, no, exactly. You can.
That is where
you,
the real competition is.
And that's what I had to do in the end. Mm. But what I'm saying is that certain things, Blizzard's very much sort of, we have to be accepting and open to everyone. And other things, they're like, well, it's technically quite tricky to do, so we're not going to do it. Or, oh, we kind of start down a path and we don't want to change that because that's a lot of work. Or, well, the devs have decided it's okay. And so the devs are, you know, the bosses, so we don't care.
Is there a German version of this thing floating around? Because I want to hear it. I want to hear like
German. I think there's a German script. Yeah. I don't think they did a German audio play.
Oh,
all of it comes with the scripts.
Oh, I want the German audio play so bad. I don't know why. Yeah, I just love listening to German people.
It is really amazing. And Scott, you should listen to all of it. It's about, you know, everyone. If you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it. It's really good. And it made me want to more. So I went and bought the Audible version of the Illidan book. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's really, I mean, I asked people on the internet, you know, on Twitter, if it was good or not. And people were really lukewarm. I'm wondering if it's not because people who like fantasy books like, you know, a lot of flowery descriptions that never end. And this one is really to the point, you know, it's, you know, he did this and then he did that and then that happened. And that's it. They don't spend 15 hours describing the rug and the pot and the all of it. But it was really well narrated. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And we learn so much about Illidan and what he does. And it's a brilliant retcon of the story of Illidan. And it really feels like between the audio play and this, it really feels like the expanded universe, not even the expanded universe, but these are the sort of serious World of Warcraft or Warcraft. And the game we're playing, World of Warcraft, is really a Disneyland version of all of it. You know, it's very simplified, it's very colorful and all of it. But the contrast is super stark because the book's story, it's the first book I've ever read of Warcraft.
So just no full stop.
The
I've never read a book.
Yeah.
Great. I can read now, by the way. I learned
a lot of words. But yeah, it really feels like the contrast is super stark between the game, which is like Kiddie Land, and this, which is like Lord of the Rings version of an epic story. And I don't know if you want to get into spoilers from that Illidan thing, but it is really a great story for Illidan. And it's very hard to imagine how much people appreciate the Demon Hunter storyline without having read that story, because it brings you so much and you understand so much more. And you know, for Illidan himself, it is I want to get into spoilers, so I don't know if you know
from the book you mean. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not.
I mean, I don't care, but I don't know if people out there you're making me excited to read it. It's the one of the books I haven't read. I've read most of them.
You're saying that grab the audiobook.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I think it was really well, the performance was great. And there's a little bit of, I mean, annoying parts with the writing at the beginning with Maiev. She's a bit, you know, but she's Maiev. That's what she is.
Is it Richard Knack? Is it Christy Golden? Who is this? Who wrote this one?
I think it's Richard Knack. I'm not even sure.
Who is it?
It's not Christy Golden. That's, I know
okay.
that. But,
all right. I can't remember who. I don't know why I've never read that one.
Check it.
I'm into that.
But yeah, it's It's William King.
No,
it's William King. It's William King.
Oh, all right.
But yeah, I mean, story-wise, again, people have told me that War Crimes is really great, but I can't imagine how it could be better than this retcon of Illidan. Mm. It's
Does it go back to his childhood and stuff like that?
No, there's a very short chapter at the beginning with the before the he was imprisoned. And then there's the when he is in the prison, and then he gets out, and basically it's the story of Illidan in Outland, what he was doing in Outland.
Ah, okay.
Nothing we saw. We didn't know what he was doing.
So in Legion, in your class hall, you play through kind of Illidan before the Sundering, and so you see him back when you have little visions of his birth with him and Malfurion. And how Illidan was, born with golden eyes and always destined for greatness. And then you have a bit with him and Malfurion with Cenarius, and Cenarius is like, I'm not going to teach you. You can learn from your brother. And he's like, no, I should be the master. Mm. And then he becomes like this this guy in charge of the mages with the High Elves. And it kind of goes through, and you actually get to play through the original Demon Invasion. Around the Well of Eternity,
or Well of Eternity,
and so you get to do all of that, and you get to kind of see some of the decisions that send him down the path he goes down, and why he's who he is.
Yeah, that stuff is good.
And it's a really, really amazing quest line filled with loads of great backstory, and you learn a lot about Illidan. And I did it as a paladin, and it was quite cool because it was talking about a vessel that needed to be kind of cleansed. And you're kind of led to believe that you're learning about Illidan and you're somehow going to cleanse his vessel. But at the end, it's like, no, we've cleansed your vessel. You now understand why this guy is why he is. Mm-hmm. You haven't got these kind of predetermined, he's just a bad guy. It's like you understand he made these choices with the right intentions from his perspective. And it's so much better than, Anakin said, from my perspective, the Jedi are evil. It's actually really good.
It's a pretty good.
It's funny because when you really play through Demon Hunter stuff, it might be a little confusing to a lot of people because you're like, why are we talking about Illidan like he's awesome?
Yeah.
And the reason is because actually what he was doing was pretty noble, but we see him as just this bad guy.
Right.
Yeah. He's really the most. I mean, honestly, he's already before the book, you knew that he was the only one who understood anything about what was happening. And he's the most unjustly reviled character in the entire lore. He keeps getting imprisoned and shot, but he's the only one.
His name is literally the betrayer.
The betrayer.
It's terrible. Sucks. Yeah.
And when you read the book, it's impossible not to. Okay, I'm not going to say anything.
You say it makes you sympathetic. I understand that. That's fair.
I honestly thought of Illidan as just like a jilted. Just a guy who wanted to go out with a girl who didn't like him and got him to go all crazy. Like that's really like how you think of him in a lot of ways,
It felt very two-dimensional
that way to you, And then now you realize like, oh no, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on here.
Yeah. He's great in this.
I want to tell you the spoilers so bad.
If it's about him and his brother fishing when they're kids, great. Tell us all about that.
Oh, you knew.
All right. All right. One last thing I wanted to say that I keep forgetting to mention about the invasion thing, and that's that they have a very creative way. Once you've witnessed Sylvanas on the Horde side, I can't speak to Alliance after this all happens, but on the Horde side, you see Sylvanas up on the pier or the pyre with the fire going, and they're cremating him, and then it flips back to actual game mode, and you go talk to somebody, and they say, if you're a demon hunter, they say somebody in our midst is a faker or whatever. There's demons here somewhere. Use your weird demon sight, whatever it's called, to see him. And so you flip that on, and through your eyes you see these silhouettes of what are actually demons masquerading as Horde, and then thus starts the next phase of that fight. If you're not a demon hunter, if you're a you're a hunter mage or whatever, and you're talking to her, she does a whole separate little walk over and talk to one of these people, cutscenes, and then it's revealed who they are. I appreciate the attention to the detail, like letting us have the two different ways of doing it, not just shoehorning that in and making it the same for everyone.
She walks up to a demon and she's like, I know you're a demon. And he's like, oh, you found us. It's too late. Yeah. Like, he's doesn't literally she... like, doesn't even try to play it cool.
doesn't she talk to a demon hunter? In the Alliance, there's actually a demon hunter there that you go talk to, and he's like, oh, I know you can't disguise yourself from my spectral sight.
It's heavily implied because there are demon hunters standing there, but yeah. You don't actually see her like say, demon hunter, use your sight.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really happen. Yeah.
It's different. It's a little bit different. Also, on your side, you don't have a follow up cinematic to the aftermath of Varian Wrynn's demise.
Exactly. Ours is all just done. The heroes are all there, all the leaders, but it's all done as text. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's voice, Steven.
That's kind
I think
of a
it's
bummer.
Just
so how
text.
Come we so see on the Horde side, how come we get to see Varian die and you guys just like don't even see what happens at the top of like see, to
I
me
think
like that's
the point. That's the cool thing about
it. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of make the same assumptions that the characters do. Okay. I think it's smart.
But like we get the full story. Like the Horde side gets like the whole thing. So
yeah, it's weird.
You get it, and then you guys don't get it. Like what's up with that?
It's super weird.
Because, no, but it's right because you on the Horde you obviously have you seen Varian die?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you see it in the cinematic.
But see, like that's what I'm saying. Like retreating. I literally wouldn't have seen that if we're talking about perspective and what I would see. I definitely didn't see that happen.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I was out of there, dude.
Like you would be it would have been interesting as well if you didn't see it and then you go back to Orgrimmar and you're chilling and then you're like, oh crap, did he die?
Yeah. They could have had a little gnome kid come to the city and tell you this tale and tell you what happened or whatever. But yeah, you don't know. If we would have heard or seen is a little green poof on the mountainside as we went away in our boat. That would have been it.
Yeah. That would be bad.
You guys how
I was saying, what the hell was that?
Do you guys
and then
know like
Sylvanas turns around and she's like, oops, sorry.
Sorry
why
about that.
But why was Tyrion all by himself up there with Gul'dan? I didn't catch that.
He wasn't
part.
Though. If you noticed, there were loads of corpses of crusaders. You beforehand,
so he was
you're
the last
capturing
one
all
of
these
a previous party.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. They were the first. They're always the first response. If you remember when Burning Crusade came out, the Knights of the Silver Hand and the Scarlet Crusade, or the Argent Dawn, I think they were called at the time. They were the ones first to the portal fighting back the demons.
Yeah,
so once again, they're like, lol, first we're going to get all the epics. And so they go out there. And then when you're with your kind of faction leader, you're going through killing a load of demons, shutting down portals, and you're freeing these captured people. And they say, like, they bear the mark of the Argent Crusade. And it's like, oh, yeah, we'll fight alongside you. And then you get to the bit where...
And then you see where Tyrion, okay.
Exactly. So they're like, look, and Tyrion Fordring's off in the background.
Because you show up and he's just like being held by Gul'dan.
He's already, He's already kind of fought and lost and Gul'dan's just kind of torturing a bit before he kills him.
I feel like I haven't seen him since the Lich King fight. I feel like it's been that long. I know it hasn't been, but it feels like that. So to see him,
I mean,
to
be honest with you, it
has
been
on the first since, line, the front
yeah,
line.
Since he hasn't really, he didn't join us in Pandaria. He wasn't part of the Cataclysm. He was a big deal there and in Vanilla, but that was it really.
Yeah.
But still, it hurts seeing him. Hit the ground.
It was really well. That's the whole thing was really well done. I want to talk a little bit about PvP from Dill's experience. You've had some not just in the main game, but also in the beta still, where some weird stuff's been going on. But big expectations for PvP coming into this expansion. We don't have much to do before the expansion in the game proper.
Yeah.
But what's your take on what you're seeing in there?
Well, I've just really been doing stuff in the beta right now because I don't think PvP is really going to matter until we get to 110, right? So, you get all these, that's where you'll have all your PvP talents and all that kind of stuff, which are all very important to the whole thing. But one of the coolest things that happened was Frost Mages discovered a way to one-shot people. And I actually was quite enjoying this myself as well. So essentially, there is a talent called Glacial Spike. And it's your final talent you get on your standard tree. But then when you combine it with Deep Shatter, which Deep Shatter was meant to just increase the damage of your frost bolts, but people were ending up like combining the two, getting set up for this massive glacial spike, and then doing 2.5 million damage to a guy.
Mm.
So they were one-shotting people essentially in arena. And
how long did it take? How long and complicated is the process to build up though to the point where they can do the one shot?
It's not very complicated, but it does. You have to hit 5 different frost bolts to gain the spikes, right? So you have to like take some time to get that up. People can see that you have 5 frost bolts, like 5 spikes.
Right.
So people know that you have it, but then you also like do double damage cooldowns, and you wait for a trinket proc. So there's a lot going on for sure before this actually goes down.
Kind of like a one turn kill deck in Hearthstone. Like it's hard to pull off, but when you do, you feel like a god.
And then the thing too is the cast time for Glacial Spike is like 2.5 seconds or 3 seconds or something at base. Mm-hmm. And so then it like it's like a more than 2.5 second actual cast time. So and if you get interrupted, it like interrupts all frost casting. You know what I mean? There's like there's ways to counter it. So a lot of people were doing things like fake casting to get people to use their interrupts before they would then try to do the Glacial Spike. But the point of it all was just that you were doing one turn, like just one spell, one-shotting people. It was a thing that hadn't really been happening in Arena for a really long time. Mm. And some people were having a blast.
Yeah,
You were watching people play it, and they're laughing their heads off when they just erase somebody. Because once you kill somebody in an Arena, like that's it. Like, you win.
Yeah.
In general, anyway. So this was actually funny because I watched this video later. Apparently, Wreckful, who has also been trying to get unbanned, by the way, and unsuccessfully, was streaming PvP playing as this, like with this spec and doing this one shot. And they hot fixed it in the middle of his game session, like while he was doing Arena. So he's like really excited about doing it again. And then it hit for like 500K or something rather than 2.5 million.
So still strong.
Like, what just happened?
Still strong, but just not OP.
And then Hlinka actually tweeted at him like a little like what face donger thing of like a guy with his hands up like, I don't know. So now it's hot fixed. You can't do it anymore. And Blizzard actually did make a blue post about the whole thing. Hold on. Here it is. So Glacial Spike on its own is not a problem. It requires a good deal of setup, including 5 frost bolts and a 3-second cast time to get off. We want something like that to have a good payoff. The problem is the synergy between Deep Shatter, Ice Form, and Glacial Spike. The intent for Deep Shatter talent was to make your frost bolts feel powerful. It wasn't intended to make Glacial Spike deal 2 million damage. 2 million damage, way out of bounds. They suggest, and to suggest it is okay feels a bit disingenuous. So yeah, people who were doing it were loving it.
All right, I want to know more, but before we continue, we need one more break. We'll be right back. Oh, you guys, that Thunder King music. It makes me want to go make a fan page for the Thunder King from Mists of Pandaria. Does it make you want to do that? Oh, good, because you can go to squarespace.com right now and do it. And it doesn't matter what you're putting up there. It doesn't have to be a fan page. It can be whatever you want. It could be a store. It could be a little small business. It could be a whatever. They have all the tools and templates you need, designed to look great on both mobile and desktop. Squarespace.com has been doing this for years, and they want to save you some money. First, they want to give you a free trial, 14 days, no credit card required. That gives you enough time to go, yeah, I totally love this. And then when you say that to yourself, I'm going to save you some additional cash. You use the code INSTANCE at checkout, save 10% off your account at squarespace.com. That's squarespace.com and the code INSTANCE for 10% off. Head over there to now. To now? Head over there now, says the Thunder King. So Dills, players who have been messing around with that and gotten good with the Glacial Spike thing, like we were talking before the break, they're way into it.
Everybody else was not into it.
So like exploits, generally speaking, people love them when they're doing them to other people. But yeah.
The thing is, it's not technically an exploit. It's an exploit. It's something that Blizzard didn't quite do all the math on it, I guess, on what could actually be possible with this.
Mm-hmm.
And once players are obviously going to they're going to tinker until they find the thing that's as broken as it can be. And this is always how players are going to work. So no one was really doing anything wrong. They just found something that Blizzard didn't realize was going to work that way, and then they changed it. So now it's all back to normal. But I was like sad that I missed getting to do it because I didn't realize it was a thing until it happened, and then suddenly it was fixed. So.
Well, I guess, this speaks to the importance of beta. This is literally why you have a beta test, and find stuff like this out. But that's some serious burst, man. I want that. I want Jaina to pull that off in Heroes, if you're asking me.
The thing is like PvP and Arena and PvP in general, there's a fine balance because you don't want to feel like healers are OP and you don't want to feel like you can't ever kill anybody. And so you do want things like giant burst that comes out of nowhere. But you also don't want like healers to be, because in this case, there's no way to heal through a single ability hitting you for your entire health pool, right? Mm-hmm. So you like don't also want there to be like healers don't matter at all, because then everyone just goes in with like three frost mages and just tries to one shot each other, right? Mm-hmm. And like that's not that fun. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's tricky. I don't envy Halinka's position because he makes this change and then some people are pissed. Like, can't make everybody happy. But
I think in this case, though, it's I would definitely agree that it's disingenuous to say that it's okay to one shot.
It's a healthy thing.
Even if it's, yeah, for the game, I mean, there's no way that you can make the game. I mean, of course, people doing it are going to say, yeah, it's super fun. But if you're on the receiving end, you feel like you have no control over everything. And yes, the setup is long and there are ways to counter it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, then you get one shot. And what happens then? The, you know, 5 minutes down the line is that everyone is playing Frost Mage.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Yeah. That's
exactly. And people who don't want to play Frost Mage just don't play PvP until Frost Mage like goes away and gets changed, right? So then, yeah, you don't want people not playing because they're not having fun because one class is basically like holding everybody else down. This is like Freeze Mage and Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. If you guys remember, there was a time where every freeze spell that currently exists in the game cost one less mana.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just ridiculous. Like, mm-hmm. you could never do anything. You could never attack. And then you just essentially, like, sat there playing minions, having them never do anything. And then eventually, like, they just killed you.
Yeah.
And they still kind of work that way. Mm. But at least that's a little bit harder for them to do. So this was a good change. There's lots and lots more that's going to be happening, I'm sure, in PvP, and I'll try to stay on top of it for our instance listeners.
I'm glad you're point guy on that.
PvP
always,
watch.
Yeah, I always have been. Hunter
now
talk.
We're going to go live to Dills. He's at our alley. Dills, what's happening there?
Well,
skip the mine, Terps. I can't believe it.
Dude, there is like a lot going on in PvP though now. It's pretty cool because now you're going to have your artifact weapon to spec out. You're going to have your honor talents, and you're going to have your just talent build. It's going to be disgusting.
Artifact weapons, Blizzard's just tweeted out put up the new blacksmith video. You know, they got the epic blacksmith guy, and he made Doomhammer.
We got this on time then. This was last night. We were being warned that perhaps something was going to pop before the show is over, and I'm glad to hear that it did. So,
wow.
What's the
gee
upshot?
Whiz, Scott. I wonder who that could
yeah,
have been.
Yeah, I wonder who was rolling with us last night in our group that told us that.
I think his secret's safe. Don't worry. Oh, her secret. Oh, that was a close one.
Legendary blacksmith Tony Swatton ignited the fires of his forge to bring great Doomhammer to life. So this is a video.
Yeah, so it's like 8 minutes long, but
geez.
You get to see him build a real Doomhammer. I think it's always cool to see Warcraft stuff in real life.
Okay.
Evidently, movie critics don't like it, but I love it.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, he's making a sword. He's making a hammer. Oh, yeah.
Well, Scott, your play-by-play on this.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You don't need to watch it now.
What else is he making, Scott?
It sparks it everywhere. I can't. Oh, my God. It's like a Michael Bay film. Look at it. Whoa, fire.
Yeah. It's the best. I'm the best caster when it comes to looking at videos definitely. Of people making hammers, so Colin, let me know. All right, we got to talk before we go about Hearthstone real quick. One Night in Karazhan dropped, at least here in the States. Is it not in Europe yet? When does that
it's
happen?
It's out now in Europe, yeah. But
okay. It is out in Europe, yeah. Yeah.
In okay. States.
A day later.
So I spent 15 English pounds, which I think is about $18,000.
Yeah.
I bought it on the US side as well.
Yeah.
And oh man, just the Medivh, you get a free, everyone could play the free one, which is the prologue with Medivh that sets up the kind of story behind the adventure. And Medivh is the most fun I think I've had in Hearthstone in a very long time.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's the best cheesy deck in the world. You feel like, again, it's that perfect feeling where you're completely overpowered, but it doesn't matter because it's against a computer. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You're not hurting anyone. You're feeling the badass. It's cool.
Yeah.
And your hero power is draw three cards.
Yeah. So it's normally crazy. You'd mill yourself.
Good Lord.
But then he's got these acolytes that whenever you play a spell, put it a copy back in your deck. So you then have to combo it with a card that allows you to cast all your spells for free. And so you just then chuck out one of those, play the other card, and then just blow through it all again. It's a really fun experience. You're up against Prince Malcazar. You remember from the top of Karazhan.
Mm-hmm.
Karazhan's so hot right now.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to kind of just kill this 60 health guy and just be a complete badass doing it. I love it.
Yeah, morose in there.
And then the rest of it's pretty good. So you yeah, do the heat on side.
Oh, is the chest? Tell me about the chest thing. I want to know about that. What's that all about?
So they actually made the chess event in Hearthstone, and it makes sense and it works. And the heroic version of it is getting hailed as like the greatest adventure boss that they've ever made by a lot of people.
I keep hearing that too. What's the magic sauce there? Does it feel like it's chess somehow?
All right. Yeah, you basically your pieces auto attack at the end of the turn. So mm-hmm. it's about where you position them. Using pawns because the enemy cheats like Medivh did back in Karazhan.
Yeah, which so, it's Medivh cheating, but in this version of Karazhan, Medivh is missing, and it's I don't know who it is really. Yeah,
so the chess itself is cheating.
Yeah.
But it will destroy the leftmost creatures you have.
The leftmost whatever. So you want to put like a damaged pawn on the left.
Exactly. You want to try and put your worst things on the left.
Wow.
And it's but even then, like characters will attack. The character in front of them, or if they're in between two characters, they attack both. So that's when you start getting some really cool placement. It's a fantastic kind of lesson for people to kind of learn about how do they position in Hearthstone. And, you know, Flame Tongue Totem's never been more dangerous now. People have the knowledge.
The really cool part about the heroic version too is they limit your actual chess pieces, so you don't have because in the regular version, you can just keep drawing chess pieces because your hero powers discover a new one. So you can kind of find whichever one you really need in that particular spot. But in the heroic one, your hero power is to move your pieces on the board. So you get to like move them like one to the left or one to the right or whatever. And like you have a limited amount of pieces and you have to find a way to actually do the 20 damage you need before all your pieces are gone.
Mm.
So it's really difficult, and there's a lot of strategy, and if you make a mistake, like one mistake, that might just cause you to lose, right?
Mm.
So very much like real chess in that way. But it's just it's something that I was concerned how they were going to make this work and be interesting and be something that had playability, and they found the perfect way to do it. It's amazing.
That's awesome. That's so good to hear.
Hats off to Team 5 on this one. Yeah. Everyone was pissed at him about Purify. Which, you know, if you play Purify
in the class challenge.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have thought they did that reactively, but no, that's probably how it always was. Mm. But you actually Purify is a really useful card in the class challenge because it gives you the world's worst deck in the world. So Purify is like, hey, it's not bad. Oh, yeah. I drew a Purify finally. Yeah.
For people who don't know, people were really mad about this card because Priest has been terrible. And then they see the new Priest cards, and one of them is a 2-mana silence your own creatures and draw a card, which is just sounds so terrible.
So it stats out about right because silence is 0, and but you don't get the 1/1 body from a gnomish inventor. But geez, it's a terrible card.
Wow.
But it's don't you guys think I understand Priest is not viable at the moment competitively, but the outrage around this card has been so
I think it's more the attitude. It feels so like a disconnect. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
And I think Blizzard's put their hands up and said, like, yeah, kind of it's tricky for us. We're playing like 2-3 expansions down the line from this, and we kind of know how this plays out and that this is there are cards that combo with this, but the problem is they're not in the game yet, and whoops, we probably shouldn't have released it in this order or something to that effect.
Ben Brode literally came out and said this was a mistake for us to put it out with this set of cards because
I understand
at
this
time and with this set of cards, because if you'd gotten 9 Priest cards and one of them was Purify, then nobody would have really, everyone's like, oh, okay, bad card, moving on. But when you get 3 Priest cards and one of them is Purify, it looks really bad, right? Mm. Because 33% of the cards they get are this awful, terrible thing.
I get that. But the amount of anger around this...
Oh, they really interneted hard over this one, for sure.
Yeah, basically it was... they interneted really, really hard. And I understand they were mad, but it was like... it felt like it was a genocide in you know, some African country.
Yeah. Ben Brode literally murdered all of their dads. Like, yeah, that's basically,
I couldn't believe it. That was uncalled for, Ben Brode. There's no need for that.
We'll have yet another chance to make him explain on Rally Point. I think we're interviewing him on Tuesday. We're going to talk about that very thing. So watch for that.
Yeah. Hey, I have another question. Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Is it possible to buy all of the wings with gold, or do you have to shell out real money?
No, you can buy them with gold. It's 700 gold.
You gotta buy them each week, though.
Right, sorry. I mean, before, you know, week one to get the bonus card.
Oh, no. No, if you want to buy, you could buy the first one with gold, and I think buy the whole rest at once, but I'm not sure how that actually works because I've never done it. But okay. Pretty much the card back is for just buying it within the first week, so you may
have to buy it with real money.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
That's all right.
Yeah, it would be cool if they added an option so you could just say, I have 2,800 gold. Let's just buy the whole thing right now. But
yeah, do me.
Yeah, Patrick, get your finished space coins ready or whatever the hell it is you guys use over there for money, and you're all set.
Exactly
that, finished space coins.
I think, though, you can still do, like, even like the way you can do it with packs where you can get discounts through Amazon. You buy Amazon coins, and then you get, like, 30% extra.
You still got to spend money, though, isn't it?
Yeah, we spend money, but you get extra coins, and then you can then spend those coins on like the Google Play Store or whatever it is to buy stuff.
Yeah,
in Hearthstone.
Get a better value.
You can still get a better value that way if you want to.
All right. Well, very nice. I think that's a show. We talked a lot of stuff, things.
We did.
It went nice and long and meaty. I hope everyone at home enjoyed it. Obviously, WoW is kicking it right now for us. We are really loving what's happening.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Overwatch or Heroes. Or
no,
anything.
And there's other stuff going on, but none of it matters.
That will be interesting to talk about next week.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some cool stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I imagine.
By the way, quick thing, though. Did you guys hear they're going to update the graphics for StarCraft 1?
Yeah, they're going to do an HD revision.
That's a rumor, isn't it?
It is a rumor. I think it's a good rumor.
I believe it.
If they're going to do that, here's what I'm predicting. People are going to be a little disappointed. There are a lot of people who think they're just going to take everything about StarCraft 1 and Brood War and turn it into a 3D StarCraft 2 looking version of it. That's not going to happen. Going to do, because they could easily do that with a mod or something. What they're going to do is they're going to make that old game scale up to HD monitors like the way the Age of Empires 2 did, like the way that Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 did. Like, that's all they're talking about, if this happens. And I think it will.
But I also think there's a lot of people who still play that game because they think that was the best version of StarCraft.
The entire...
Those people are going to be super stoked.
Yeah, the entirety of, like, South Korea will lose their minds now. Yeah. In fact, I have big questions, which we'll also talk about in Rally Point, big questions about what it means for competitive. Like, will the competitive scene that still exists... lessen
like
the states.
Come forth to the limelight again?
Yeah, well, or will they go back? Like, will the StarCraft II thing recede, and will people go back and play that? I don't know. It's a really good question.
People still play Warcraft 3 in, like, tournaments and stuff. Like, people don't care about the graphics. They just care about the game, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we shall see. Like, there's not a lot of Super Smash Brothers out there, like Melee, but there's... StarCraft 1 might potentially be something that kind of does do that.
Yeah, I could see it.
People thought it was kind of perfect.
Yeah, you know, it was a great game.
Next week is Gamescom, so they're going to make some announcements out there.
Yeah.
So that should be cool.
And you're going to be, so we're at that part of the show anyway, Terps, you're going to be at Gamescom doing something with Blizzard? What are you doing out there?
Yeah, so I'm hosting the daily show with Zoe. So I think she's got all the cool stuff, and then I'm doing like... kind of, it's just going to be me making a tit of myself in Gamescom in Cologne. So I think if you want to see me just be an idiot, do tune in. It should be good fun. I'm excited about it. There's lots of cool stuff happening. There's the Legion Cafe. Mm-hmm. That there's going to be some cool stuff there. I don't know. I just don't even want to talk about Scott before I say something. I'm just going to say something so wrong.
Yeah, you're going to blow your...
I know
that
like Guy or something is going to be listening to this, just thinking like, that idiot.
Did we send him any of the information?
Yeah, he did sign the NDA, didn't he?
Yeah.
Technically, I saw the NDA. Yeah. Did I sign it? No.
No. So you had one of your minions do it.
But that's for everyone's best interest.
Are you going to have anything to do with the Bastion... video short they're doing, the Overwatch at Bastion short reveal?
Yeah, I am actually Bastion in that.
Oh,
so,
okay, great.
They rather than do an animation, they just got me in a cardboard box, and I'm just going to go, boop, 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 boop.
Listen,
the game.
It wouldn't be, listen, it wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the first time people have caught Terpster making a bunch of noise holding his bird, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly, yeah. That's how it works.
That was a pretty good penis joke.
That's one of the things happening out there, so that's going to be really cool. But yeah. That is by no means the coolest piece of news coming out of there, so stay tuned.
You know, bird like penis, get it? It's like a bird.
It's yeah, like an eagle. Yeah, it's like just a majestic sure. falcon.
Yeah. Like yeah, a majestic cool. hooded yeah. falcon. Very nice. Yeah. Patrick, you're on vacation. You're not doing anything fun except vacationing. Do you want to mention anything else?
That's pretty fun, although I have my head filled with images of Terpster's bald eagle now. It's very disturbing.
Sorry about that. It's got a mind of its own.
No, nothing much. Just not Patrick on Twitter.
All right, follow not Patrick on Twitter. He is. He'll always have something to say about video games, politics, or video games.
Politics and video games.
Yeah, politics okay. and video games.
Or if you want to spoil the Illidan novel for you and tell you what he's actually up to, go ask me on Twitter. Ooh. I'll DM you.
He just wants to find out who his real daddy is. That's all he wanted.
I think he wants to connect with his brother again, who he wants to embrace the wild.
Yeah. Oh, that was my Demon Hunters backstory. It was my Demon Hunters backstory. He was going to be called like Illidon.
Oh, yeah, what's your Demon Hunter's name? Has everyone got Illidan names, yeah?
Mine's GURPSTER, and don't take credit for it, because that's not why I named it GURPSTER. I was just trying to find GURP comparisons.
Don't worry. That's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
It wasn't because of you. But
mine's Ill with the Flu. Yeah. I've seen some fantastic ones out there. We got tweeted one of Matt Demon, which was great.
Yeah.
then you get like Chili Dan, Silly Dan.
Yeah.
All of those ones are great. Yeah. But I'd love to hear if you're a listener to this and you've got a fantastic Demon Hunter name, hopefully mm-hmm. inspired by the great Illidan. Mm-hmm. Send them in.
Yeah. What'd you do? Hear the best? Patrick, did you name yours? Obviously you did. What's his name?
Oh,
it's called Patrick the Demon Hunter.
Yeah, it's called Patrick Hunter something.
Really?
Hunter.
Oh,
Rick
okay.
Hunter would have been awesome.
Oh! Like I wanted this. I forgot to say this. One of the things I did this week, I totally forgot to say this. I spent a bunch of time hunting down and finding, and then using some existing transmog items to basically build GURP and Henry, who is now called Ash Henry, because I had to go find like a dirty old like ash colored version of Henry. And they look like, and if you put them on the motorcycle that won the contest, it's like Mad Max. Oh, yeah. I got a Mad Max version of GURP now that is so freaking cool. His shoulder pads look like metal, like sheet metal and stuff. Like, he doesn't look like a fantasy character at all. It's so cool.
You should tweet it. Why didn't you tweet it?
I did yesterday. I put a picture up. Yeah, Mr.
Well, tweet it at a time when I'm not asleep, Scott. Jeez.
All right. I'll get it out there for you. I'll send you a copy so you can see it. I'm very proud of it. Dills, what's going on this week for you, sir? Anything you want to point people to?
Well, I just got Twitch partnership. Lots of streaming, lots and lots of streaming. Yeah. So if you've always wanted to be a Dill sub, congratulations, you can do that.
Well, now's your chance. Monetize that shit, man.
Name for them.
We don't know yet. We're figuring
maybe
that
the
out.
Willies. Be a Willy. Sub to Willy Dills.
Well, some people were trying to call them Dills Does, but I was like,
oh, that's
I don't
a
know
good
about
one.
That.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Become
a Dills
see.
Do today.
There was
be a Dills don't. Be a Dills do.
there was a like we were some sort of playoff of citizens, like Dillsidens or something. I don't know, but it's who knows. Right now, I'm just working out all the emoticons and the cool sub stuff, the emotes and all that kind of stuff. So
nice.
Lots and lots of things happening, but we'll be streaming like almost every day for the next bunch of weeks.
Yeah.
As we try to get Legend in Wild and Hearthstone and also play a ton of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Oh, and check out the YouTube channel. There's been a video almost every single day.
They're very nice. They're good ones too. So check those out. If you're looking for good hunter guides, I would recommend highly checking that out.
Yeah, the BM hunter guide is in progress, but I've been sidetracked with Karazhan set review.
Is that a Hearthstone how to emote as a hunter? I'd like that. No. Just make sure mouse over these abilities. Make it seem as if you don't have lethal.
Uh-huh.
Try and cast something and then put it on your face. And they're like, oh, he doesn't have kill command. Then play kill command say, I'm sorry.
Wow.
That is some dark. You went to a dark place. Well, that's going to do it for the show, everybody. Thank you for listening. Theinstance.net is the website. You can go there and subscribe to everything if you haven't already. Instance Show, Scott Johnson, Willie Dills, the_T, not Patrick. All of those are Twitter names. You can follow all of us. including the show there. There are more shows just like this at frogpants.com, so do check those out. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Terpster, and for Dills. See you next time.
Bye. It's the horse up.
Depressing reading material inspires many to take up skydiving. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. In a marked contrast to the boredom that has permeated Azeroth in the past months, the sickly green now permeating the skies overhead is filling many with unease and dread. While many have vowed to fight the coming onslaught of the Legion, others have given in to despair, standing on the streets of Orgrimmar and Stormwind handing out pamphlets. These scrawlings lament that it is the end of the world as we know it, and we should not feel fine about it. But something sinister is afoot. OGN has learned that some have been very strangely affected by reading these tracts. We've received many reports of people who, after viewing a few pages, suddenly ride their flying mounts high above the city, dismiss them, and plummet to their deaths. Perhaps the writing is imbued with magic that compels them to do so? Authorities are investigating, but in the meantime, work crews are struggling to clean up the mess and fill in the craters. In one particularly horrifying incident, a full platoon of Tauren paladins simultaneously crashed down on the streets of Orgrimmar. One shell-shocked witness of the bovine bombardment said he tried to talk them out of it, but failed. "As the gods are my witness," he sobbed, "they thought Tauren could fly." Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.